Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Salty Sisters. I'm Brianna.
I'm Kristen. Hello.
Kristen's fighting off a bit of a cold.
I got a little bit of the sniffles. It's going to be okay.
Seems from whatever podcast I listened to last week, there's just some stuff going around.
It's true.
I feel like Katie or Dana might have been sick. Rachel Lindsay wasn't feeling good.
Yeah, my boss seems to think it could be because it's been warming up and cooling down so much, which perhaps, I don't know. A lot of people out at my work again, so whatevs.
Okay.
Yep, it's all good. Snot is just a running. Nothing makes me feel more attractive is when I just like go through a box of Kleenexes a day. Moving on.
Luckily for you, we got the good Vicks Kleenexes up here in the studio.
It doesn't even, they don't smell like Vicks anymore.
Yeah, they've been open too long.
Yeah.
But they're soft.
They're very soft.
They do a Kleenex dust on my face.
That's gym. Why I don't buy puffs anymore.
It feels like forever since we last recorded, even though it's not because we're doing this thing where we record on Mondays.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Yeah.
Nobody cares. Yeah, it's great. So what are we clicking on this week?
Let's see. Like, I know there's stuff I've been clicking on, but I don't know if this actually counts as clicking on, but I did really appreciate Nick Offerman's speech. I don't even remember what award show this was for because it seems like it was forever ago and I wrote this like a long time ago.
SAG Awards probably.
Maybe. But it was
The Last of Us.
Yeah, he won for The Last of Us and he like, I didn't get the exact quote, but basically like, this isn't a gay story, it's a love story, you assholes. Because he did it so he could like shut down all the fucking haters out there who have a problem with gay people apparently. I just thought that was real awesome of him to say that.
Yeah, I don't know if a lot of people know who that is. So The Last of Us, the HBO Max show with Pedro Pascal, he had a whole story, which was like my favorite story, where he was kind of
very sweet,
shacked up in a house and he fell in love with another man. And like this went on. And yeah, he won at the SAG Awards, I believe it was. And he really had a strong message for the haters who were like, where's it going to be? Dudes, or
why
whatever.
Why does it have to be a gay story? And then he said, it's not a gay story, it's a love story, you assholes.
Right.
Was he in Parks and Rec or something, too? Or something?
I never watched that.
I didn't either. I think with the mustache, maybe. Anyways, who cares? I did really love that. You had told me this, but I didn't realize that the SAG Awards were on Netflix. I know we touched on this last week, but now I understand where all the swearing is coming from, and I really appreciated it as somebody who swears often.
It's great. And what I noticed yesterday is if you miss the SAG Awards, they're available to watch on Netflix.
Oh, right.
Which, like, I wouldn't, but, you know.
Yeah. I did see today it's the 10-year anniversary of the Oscar selfie that Ellen DeGeneres took. And I actually clicked on this article, which I'm disappointed about because it was just nothing. But it was something about how that photo has just aged so poorly. And come to find out, that photo was actually staged.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. But then it was
Wait,
more...
why has it aged poorly?
Well, right. So they were like, I mean, let's get straight to the point. Number one, Kevin Spacey. You know, is 10 years old. This was before all the Kevin Spacey allegations came out, whatever. And then, of course, that whole Ellen thing, how she was accused of, like, toxic work environment, et cetera. And then they specifically called out Jennifer Lawrence, how nobody likes her anymore due to no fault of her own. It was just the fact that she was rising too fast and people got sick of her. And same thing with Bradley Cooper, that America has turned on him. Something about how he's just in the press too much with his Oscar run for Maestro.
Wow. Who wrote this article?
And then it was some stupid, like, it wasn't, like, People or anything like that. It was, like, I don't know, Business Insider. It was on, like, my Facebook news feed because I'm old. There was one other stupid comment in there. I can't really tell. But, yeah, it was, like, a Samsung publicity thing to, like, promote their new phone at the time.
That really makes me sad,
I know,
to be honest.
It's nice that we didn't know that at the time.
Right.
So happy anniversary. Also happy, well, we're past it now, but as of Friday, happy 1-year anniversary of Scandoval.
I know.
Thank you so much for Rachel Levis for commencing the day with a lawsuit.
I know. Do we want to talk about that now or later?
No, we'll get to that later.
Okay.
What are some things that you're clicking on?
Speaking of Bradley Cooper, I don't click on a lot of Bradley Cooper, but I did click on, you know, him and Gigi Hadid have been seen out more and more. And basically how Leo and Bradley used to be really close, and rumors are that they're no longer friends because of Gigi Hadid now.
I'm sorry.
Because she was dating Leo for a bit.
She was, okay.
And they're both on the award circuit this year, and they're like, from what this person knew, there's been no photos of them. So, yeah. Leo to me does not seem like a dude who's going to get mad at that.
I was just going to say that. Like, you're telling me Leonardo DiCaprio, who obviously we know has a type. I mean, I don't even know or care how long ago him and Gigi Hadid dated.
It's been within the year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, like, loosely date.
Sure. And also, who the fuck cares? Like,
yeah.
I don't know that I have a specific opinion on Bradley Cooper other than, God damn it, he used to be so hot in the Hangover days, and now I do not find him attractive at all.
Mm-hmm.
He was on The Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard, and they were both talking about when Dax, like, revealed that he had relapsed and how, like, Bradley, it's like Bradley Cooper, or he made Bradley Cooper realize something about their friendship, and Bradley Cooper saved his life or something.
God, Dax sure does like talking about himself, doesn't he?
I'm at the point, and I feel like I'm on a roller coaster relationship with Armchair Expert, where I started off really hot and heavy. I fell off it for a long time, got back into it for a while. And then ever since the Jonathan Van Ness interview, it's just been like a little bit cringe. And so I'm at the point where I will check and see who's on it every Monday. But usually, I mean, Goldie Hawn was on it today, like fucking snooze fest. You know, if there's somebody cool on it, like Harry Russell or somebody that I care about.
I mean, I feel like I saw Goldie Hawn was on it. I'm like, ooh, that could be a good listen because I find her intriguing. But
like, I would rather, I'm assuming if she's going on Armchair Expert, we're going to see her on about four more podcasts coming up soon. And I would just rather listen to her on another podcast.
Smart.
But for some reason, this led me down a Smartless hole.
Yeah.
And the Killers were on Spot. We're on
no,
Smartless.
They have good guests. I just
the beginning
looked,
of February.
I
yeah.
just looked the other day. I did not notice that though, or I would have told
you.
Yeah,
it was like the first or second of February. It was very, very late on it. But yeah, Brandon and Ronnie.
Nice.
And she were on there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you give it a listen?
I did.
How was it?
Yep. Good. I want to be friends with them.
With Brandon and the guy?
Well, yes, of course. But like Jason Bateman and Will Arnett and God, I can never remember that other guy's name. I'm so sorry.
Oh, Sean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sean.
Will and Grace guy.
Yeah. I was going to say Hannigan. Sorry about that. It's not Hannigan.
Sorry, Will and Grace.
Yeah, I like that podcast. There was a whole documentary on like HBO Max about this podcast. Or like they followed them around and I've watched clips of it and it looks super funny. We should get that.
Oh, I'll have Mark put on Plex because you are the one who told me about Smartless. And I don't know why I don't ever listen to it.
I rarely do as well.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Now that we're talking about podcasts, I have been catching up on the Katie and Dana Unapologetically, what is their podcast called?
Disrespectfully.
Sorry, Disrespectfully. I love the both of them. I also want to be friends with them. But for the fucking love of God, can they stop using the term daddy for hot older guys?
I love it.
It makes me want to throw up. It makes my skin crawl. It makes me really uncomfortable.
They can pull off words that you and I just could never pull off.
Well, number one, never ever in my life would I ever say that. But it just makes me feel gross for just reasons. But yeah, you're right. They can pull it off. It's like an LA thing, I'm sure.
Right.
But,
yeah, they're my favorite podcast right now. I love them so much. I do feel slightly that Dana feels like she doesn't try to one-up Katie's stories, but for every like one of Katie's bad date stories, she had like five. And Katie's date was the worst. She got slapped in the face with a dick, okay? Her date was the worst. You can't spin it any other way.
Didn't go anywhere in case.
Right. So I highly recommend this podcast.
I kept waiting for her to say that it was Schwartz. Like that was their first date or something but then can you really see Schwartz doing that? No. But yeah, there were some interesting reveals on the bad date episode for sure.
Yeah.
Oof.
Other things that I'm clicking on. We're back with the Cyrus family drama.
Dude, that is so am I not clicking on.
What?
I know. Only because I knew that you were going to fill me in. And I feel like I don't even have to click on the articles because most of it has been in the headlines. And then I did just listen to Chicks in the Office where they also talked about it.
Got it.
So I feel like I'm kind of there, but please go on.
Basically, the rumor is that Tish like married her daughter Noah's, like a guy she was dating. And mind you, this guy is 54 and Noah's like 25 or something. And that's why what has caused this rift. So I mean, that's like in a nutshell.
She just turned 24.
Dominic is his name.
Of course.
Yeah,
it is.
He's in his 50s or something. The whole thing is just creepy.
It's super fucking creepy.
That family's so fucking trashy, man.
So it's Miley, Noah, and then they have like the brother who's kind of gothic-ish. Mm. He's got a little bit of a alternative lifestyle. I don't even know what to say about this besides it is so gross and so weird. They were talking on the Chicks in the Office pod that somebody had come out and said that Noah addressed this and said it wasn't true, but they can't find it anywhere. Can we be invited to sit with them at Christmas dinner? Like, what the fuck? I just don't even, I can't wrap my head around how this is a thing and how this isn't just incredibly disgusting.
Yeah, the whole thing's fucking weird.
A little incestuous in some weird way, right?
100%.
Also, I saw a clip of Miley Cyrus's new music video, and she's really embracing that like Tina Turner-esque hairstyle mm-hmm. that she had at the Grammys.
Yeah, like the big hair.
Yeah. It sounds like a terrible song, but
she's really feeling herself. Moving on, I don't know. I have the Bravo reckoning on here with the lawsuits.
That was like my first thing I wrote down. It's not necessarily am I clicking or not clicking, but it's basically like what the fuck is happening with Bravo? You and I talked briefly about this over the weekend, and I have seen since like Lisa Vanderpump and other housewives are coming out in defense of Andy Cohen. Mm-hmm. But why don't you fill us in?
Well, a lawsuit was filed by Leah McSweeney, who was on The Real Housewives in New York for a couple of seasons, like three tops maybe.
Like how long ago? Like is she a recent cast member, do you think, or is she like years ago?
Real Housewives of New York has a new cast this season. I don't really know when she was on there.
Okay.
But basically, she's accused him of like snorting cocaine with certain members of The Real Housewives or Bravo Network, which I don't really know if it's a big deal. I don't know if whatever. She's basically also saying that it's a toxic work environment for people. Like she's an alcoholic and they were constantly seemingly trying to get them to always drink and not respecting her sobriety. Oh, and she's also on the Ultimate Girls Trip, which is pretty recent. Problematically, there she's saying also some higher execs send inappropriate photos to lower execs. Like, obviously, that's a situation. So I don't really know what the deal is. I don't know, like, what she's suing for.
I'm going to just go out on a limb and say that I can only assume that a lot of Hollywood does cocaine. It almost seems like they're... You know, how I look at marijuana is something like they would maybe look at cocaine as is like everybody does it. And it's just something I don't know, man. I've never fucking done coke. I don't know how fun it is or what it does to you or if it's a lifestyle. I have no idea. But that seems like a weird thing to like open up a lawsuit about. And then I have a hard time with the alcoholism and the drinking because this isn't Survivor. That's not a really good comparison at all, but this is The Real Housewives on Bravo. The show has been on for almost 20 years in some form, 16, 17 years. I don't know. I don't want to say this is what you signed up for, but you're on a reality show where all they do is fight and talk shit and go to these like lavish parties with these crazy rich lifestyles. I don't know. Is this a Bethany Frankel like ripple effect?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, so this woman is also saying Andy Cohen intentionally uses cocaine with his employees to further promote a workplace culture that thrives off drugs and alcohol use, which leads to a failure to accommodate employees who are disabled and trying to stay substance free. So, I mean, I don't know what to say.
If an employee of Andy Cohen's that wasn't on The Housewives had come out and said something about not feeling included, I don't know. I just have a hard time taking this seriously. Besides, the sexual allegations from the people above sending shit, that's on a whole different level.
100%.
And that is super fucked up. But like these allegations with the cocaine and promoting a work environment, whatever you just said, I mean, don't like get off the show. I don't know.
Yeah. Like it seems to me there's some blurred lines between employee and employer with Andy Cohen. And is he really their boss? Like, I don't know. Or is he just a product of the Bravo Network? Anybody?
I guess I never realized how big of a deal Andy Cohen was. I don't know the interworkings of how involved he is in these Real Housewives show and Vanderpump and all of this stuff. I just honestly thought he had the after show and like just got in with these people, rubbing elbows with them, you know? I don't know.
For sure.
But
anyways, I just almost wish we hadn't even talked about that. What do you think of KCAV's new BF?
It's also something that's in my not clicking on, again, because I didn't have to. I almost didn't like it because I'm like, after all she said on her podcast, everything she said since her divorce to Jay Cutler about not settling and all of this, I find it really hard to wrap my head around that she's dating a 24-year-old boy. And then I'm like, well, Nick Viall is the same way, right? He promotes all this like healthy relationship. And but then Natalie Joy is in her early 20s. But it's different because a 24-year-old boy, I don't know how old Natalie is. I'm assuming she's 23, 24. And then a 24-year-old girl, not the same maturity-wise. And I foresee this as like a fling, which is totally fine. But I don't need to have it like on every single news outlet about this 24-year-old who looks like kind of a...
He's really cute.
Sure. Like, just like they were talking about it on Nick Viall's podcast and how, and this is something that I don't understand, something about how he has some sort of like Snapchat handle on his profile, or it just like recently got taken off. Like they basically portrayed him as like a fuckboy.
Sure.
Which is fine. She can date whoever she wants to date. But it just was surprising that she was taking this one public.
I thought it was really cringe at first, the way they debuted their little like song that they were mouthing.
It's fucking lame.
And it was really cringy. And but he like does this with like his group of friends. They always, they're like the at Montana Boys or something like that. And they sing these country, they lip sing these country songs. And then I found myself down this rabbit hole today watching these,
oh my God,
these songs. I'm like, oh my God. Anyways, I'm embarrassed of myself and for them. But this is why they're going to make like millions of dollars. And I just live in Petoskey.
I mean, I don't want it to sound like I'm like throwing shade at them. I just, with these celebrities that are just so out there with their standards and not settling, it was just surprising that she was coming public with this 24-year-old. Is he famous for anything other, is like, is he a fucking like Twitter or a what's that? Which, no, what's that app? Please help me. This is embarrassing.
I don't know.
Not Snapchat, but it's a TikTok. Is he like a TikToker?
Probably.
Cool.
I would assume everybody's a TikToker except you and I.
I hope Mark edits that out so I don't take so long thinking about TikTok.
Yeah. Anyways, good for them.
Sure. Sure.
I love it.
I just am thinking of her kids. Like, let's say they make it and her kids in like, how old is her oldest? Like 10, 11. It's just, this is your new bonus parent.
We don't need to worry about it.
Anyways, something else I'm not clicking on, anything Wendy Williams related. Mm. I don't give a fuck. I have never liked her. I think she's a Looney Tunes. I would never watch this documentary. Whatever's going on with her, it's fucking weird.
How do you know it's weird if you haven't clicked on it?
Because I feel like she has been in the headlines for years about just like erratic behavior. I know she's got like some dementia problems now, but like hardcore alcoholic, hardcore think drug addicts. The headline, last headline I saw about this was that they think her dementia is alcohol induced. So I just don't have a lot of sympathy. And I, who cares about Wendy Williams, you know?
People really seem to.
It's so weird. Even when she had that talk show, I'm like, who goes on this talk show?
A lot of people.
It seemed like a 2000s, like Ricky Lake type situation.
Ricky, what's she up to?
She's probably fucking thriving.
Have you been clicking on a lot of Oprah leaving Weight Watchers headline?
Oh my God, I didn't even see that.
Oh, yeah.
Is it because she's on Ozempic now?
There's a little bit of that. Like just the fact that her current weight loss program doesn't really align with Weight Watchers. So, you know, she was like a 25% or she was a pretty big stakeholder. I'm not exactly sure, but their shares plunged 25% when she announced she was leaving.
I'll tell you what, she has been involved with Weight Watchers for so long.
Like 10 years.
Has it really only been 10 years?
I think so.
I mean, I've done my bouts with Weight Watchers before and her face is everywhere on Weight Watchers stuff. And I do remember when they started endorsing, they didn't specifically endorse Ozempic, but they were starting to endorse the weight loss kind of like Ozempic. It just seems like that brand is really flailing. So I will be curious to see how the Oprah fallout affects it as a whole.
Right. By the way, Oprah's worth $2.8 billion.
You know, fucking good for Oprah.
Damn, I know.
God. But I mean, I don't know how old she is. I feel like she's in her 60s and she looks fucking fantastic.
She does.
You know, she's the one person that I feel like I have respect for if she wants to use Ozempic. I mean, fucking Oprah just, she needs a break with her weight, you know? She's been struggling for so long.
Why is this something we're still talking about with Oprah and her weight? It's so upsetting to me. This woman is so much, and I know that is exactly what you and I were just doing too, but
I mean,
because it's out there. Those are the headlines.
Well, and she is, I mean, she's been the face of Weight Watchers. I feel like this is...
She brings us on her weight loss journey, for sure.
For sure.
But why? Oprah, you're so much more.
Yeah. Another thing is I'm not clicking on anything to do with the royal family. I'm so overloaded with royal family drama since the Meghan and Harry stuff. Like, I can't really do any more royal family stuff.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers to Kate Middleton. Like, I don't know what else I'm supposed to say about it.
Prince Charles has cancer. Sounds like prostate cancer, but they won't confirm. So
weird.
I mean,
keep a little hush hush about that, huh?
Right. Ugh. Gosh, wouldn't it be crazy? He's pretty old and he just got onto the throne. And boy,
I feel like William is just sitting in the background.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I know.
I don't have to wait until you're fucking 100 years old, like grandmama.
Grams.
God, fuck. Can we move? Are you not clicking on anything?
No. Do you want to talk some recent VPR headlines?
Yes, I would love to. Thank God we waited till today to record, because these last 36, 48 hours have been a little fucking nuts. Should we go in order?
Oh, I don't care.
Okay. Let's start with the Rachel lawsuit. Here's the best quote I can find on it. Levis was a victim of the predatory and dishonest behavior of an older man who recorded sexually explicit videos of her without her knowledge or consent, which were then distributed and discussed publicly by a scorned woman seeking vengeance, catalyzing the scandal. So that's the gist of her lawsuit. I find this fucking outrageous. I told Kristen I wasn't going to listen to her podcast anymore. I feel like I've been saying this for weeks. I did listen to about 4 minutes of whatever episode she had out last week. And it started with something about how she can't believe Vanderpump is still using her name. And this is the kind of shit that I don't understand. What do you mean they're still using your name? You were involved in one of the biggest affair scandals to date. They're not using your name because you're not on the show and you didn't come back. They're just trying to fucking fill in the pieces. I don't even know. You and I were talking about this. I have no knowledge of this video of her being leaked. I feel like if it was leaked, it would be everywhere. And I'm glad it wasn't leaked. That's super fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Ariana seeing this, obviously not wanting to see it, and then if she did show it to Sheena and who the fuck else?
She didn't.
Sure. I don't think she did. But if she did, like, I'm not saying that's right, but like in that moment when your whole world has just fell down and you are trying to like explain this to your friends, like, no, this is what happened. Look at what I just fucking saw. It's not like, if it did happen the way this lawsuit is saying, it's not like she went about it in some weird, crazy way where she's like, hey, I have this video of you now. Pay me money. I don't even know. And you had a thought, too, about her, like, this saying about the dishonest behavior of an older man. This was somebody you chose to be in a affair with, in a relationship with. This is somebody who on the reunion you said you were in love with. And now that shit's different, like, I just have a real hard time with it. If this lawsuit would have come out 8 months ago or something, sure, it would have been a little bit more credible to me, but I don't understand.
I do have a problem with the older man situation, her placing blame. What he did was wrong. Like, I believe he will probably be charged with, like, they say, like, eavesdropping and recording her without her consent. But the fact that she's 27 at the time and he's 39 or whatever, like, that's, it is what it is, girl. Like, you can't blame it on an older man.
Nope.
You can blame him, but you don't have to put it in that kind of way where you completely victimize yourself. You are a victim. Like, you don't need to, like, I don't know. You don't need to say those words. It just makes it sound really stupid.
It makes it sound like you're 17 and he's 40.
Exactly.
And that is not the situation that this is in.
And so there have been clips played of when Ariana went on Sheena's podcast back in August. And they were talking about this recording. Ariana made it very clear to Sheena. She's like, I saw maybe 4 seconds of it. I do not have that video. I never had it. It is out of my possession. I never showed anybody. When we got the cease and desist as the cast, she's like, my lawyer made it very clear to them that I never had a copy of this. I never distributed. So, and I believe that. I don't really think Ariana's lying about that. So,
and I mean, this is where Send It to Daryl came from, right? Because they got the cease and desist and nobody has ever talked about it since.
No, because probably because of the cease and desist.
And
this, like, revenge porn is a real thing.
For
it's
sure.
The Misha Barton thing, you know? Yeah.
And this happened to Stassi, right? With fucking Patrick.
Yeah. Happened to Blac Chyna with Rob Kardashian. Yeah. I mean, so it's a real thing. And I just don't know that this is it.
I don't think that this is it. How are we ever going to know? It's his word against her word. Do I want to believe Rachel about this, that she did not give him permission? I obviously want to believe her, but are we ever going to get the truth from Sandoval? I highly doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another one of these instances where it tarnishes when this happens legitimately to somebody else, you know, because this whole Scandoval situation is not the same.
Her story has not wavered really. With all along, she said she didn't know he recorded. I do believe her, but I don't know. The whole way she's gone about this is super weird to me. And she just needs to like really stop talking. I don't know.
She really does. And that's what she always talks about on her podcast is like, I don't know why they're still talking about me. I don't know why they're still talking about this. Same thing with Sandoval. And I'm going to say this again. Like, obviously, the episodes of Vanderpump are different because this is 3 months after this has happened. But Ariana doesn't just like go out in public and talk about this.
Yeah.
When she was leaving her Broadway show over the weekend or last night or something, one of the people came out to the crowd and they were like, please don't say her ex's name or say anything about her ex. Like, I think she just wants to be fucking done with this, as she should.
Yeah.
And saying, stop talking about, stop using my name, and then you continue to talk about it on your podcast, and now it's a lawsuit. It's just a little
fucking thirsty.
It's just fucking thirsty.
Just like the Sheena restraining order thing. Why did you drop that restraining order? Ugh, the whole fucking thing is just...
She still, to this day, says that Sheena punched her.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think Sheena punched her.
No.
So...
Sheena probably pushed her or something.
Sure.
But yeah.
I would have punched her. I'm just gonna go ahead and say that, but that's just me.
Definitely interested to see how this plays out, though.
Yeah. I was like reading up, I don't, whatever fucking news source was out about it, but they did make it seem like Ariana's really going to come out of this unscathed, but they couldn't say the same thing for Sandoval.
Yeah.
It just, the fact that she has Ariana's name in this lawsuit.
It's super unfortunate.
Especially when it says, by a scorned woman seeking vengeance, catalyzing the scandal. Fuck off.
Yeah.
The Lala pregnancy that came out today, very shocking.
Yeah.
And good for her. I listened to the podcast today and she's been saying this for over a year now that she wanted to have another baby and she was going to find a way to do it. And she did it.
Yeah.
So fucking good for her.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to move on to Jackson Britt.
Jackson Brittany. I'm heading for a divorce. I strongly think they're done. He's fucking nuts, man.
Dude. Him and Sandoval deserve each other. Like
100%.
I almost hope in like 6 months they both find their way back to each other and just are in a relationship.
Rose on the town, man.
And just live happily ever after together on some weird island. It's so weird to me that he is coming out and saying like, oh yeah, she did move out for a while, but she's home now. Everything's fine. And then she has taken his name off of her Instagram.
And there's video of her moving into this other house.
Yeah, like it's fucking bonkers. It is bonkers. Who are these people?
Jax is super not. I just, ever since hearing him on the Heidi and Spencer podcast, and
hey, he's got a kid, okay?
Oh, God, I got a wife and kid and family, but like outside of the gym, you know, when he's given his whole spiel to TMZ, he's like, oh, how'd you guys know I was here? You know, he's so nonchalant about everything. I can't imagine being married to this fucking sociopath. Like, are you serious?
I mean, let's put the affair aside with Sandoval right now. Who is worse, him or Jax?
Oh, I honestly think Jax is worse.
But, like, not by much, right?
No.
Again, go back and watch the earlier seasons of Vanderpump. Like, it's so amazing seeing the two of them, this dynamic, and now knowing what we know about Sandoval. And it's like, after Jax's dad died, when he goes on, like, that he's changed and this has just made him become a better person and whatever. And now he's just still the same piece of shit he's always been.
Yeah.
Hey, Stassi, you've been right all along, you know?
And, like, it's a real toss-up. I mean, right now it seems Jax is worse, but you never know.
How is this going to affect you watching The Valley?
I'm going to, like, really look for cracks in the marriage.
Got it. Okay.
I'm pretty excited about The Valley. I don't really... You know, there's the guy on there who's Kristen Doughty's, like, gay best friend?
I'd have to see the picture.
She kind of bothers me, and I'm just not excited about him being on the show.
Is it one of the Guzbens?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I'd have to see it.
Anyways. Do you want to talk about VPR, the episode?
Yeah, we definitely can. I feel like the chicks in the office nailed it today. They gave it a C, and we're saying about how these episodes of Vanderpump just, like, are not doing it for them. And I completely agree with that. I think my favorite person of this episode was Allie, who seems to be one of the most, like, real people right now.
I was going to ask, what's your bright spot in the episode?
Yeah, I think it was Allie and the dog. I don't know that I have any more bright. There's a bug over there on the curtain.
Ooh.
What is that?
I think it's a stink bug. I don't know. It looks weird. We got another bug situation up
just
here,
let me
everybody.
Kill it.
Welcome to the jungle.
Weather getting hot and then cold. Just making the box. Good job. I'm so proud of you.
I told Mark. Sorry, I'm sidetracking. but like this whole camper situation, I was like, we are covering every hole we can and we're spraying. Like, I can't have a camper that's infested with bugs.
Well, you won't have a camper that's infested with bugs.
Totally. We'll get back to that later. Sorry, continue.
One of my bright spots in the episode was when Graham got to ride in the private jet and Ken was just taking a snooze. It was just perfect. What a life, fucking Ken.
You know, I mean, we've seen the pictures of the dog on Instagram. I'm just really happy that the dog seems to be behaving well. And
they took him everywhere and he did so good.
I know.
It was so cute.
I just feel like he was so close to getting euthanized. And I'm so glad that we're in the situation that we're in with Graham. I mean, with Hippie. Stop calling him Graham, right?
Fuck. I don't know. Is it really Hippie?
Yeah, they changed his name.
Okay. Brock and Sheena, yikes. I feel like they're heading for a divorce. Can you put pants on or something, Brock? He's so gross.
He reminds me of one of those people at the gym who pushes like the protein powder and the muscle milk.
Right.
And stuff. Sheena, how can I put this? You know, all of the trends from the 90s are coming back with the crop tops and the slouchy sweatpants that are super low rise and whatever. It's cool if people our age want to like maybe embrace what they've missed a little bit. But just because you grew up in the 90s and are now over 40 doesn't mean you need to do every trend that the 20-somethings are trying to bring back, because it just looks really desperate. And this is my feeling about the sunglasses and the tiny sunglasses that her and Schwartz are wearing. Like, hey, Brittany and Justin want their looks back. You know, it's a lot. And I just think she tries so hard to be the cool mom, the cool one. I'm so over her and I'm so just bothered.
You know how I feel about fucking sweatpants out in public?
I sure do.
I have a real fucking problem with, even if you're going to fly, like, at least
leggings.
Let's try not to look like a fucking slob, okay? I get it. You're about 95 pounds soaking wet, yet you try on the two-piece bikini and you pinch your literal fucking skin and you have a problem with that, okay?
Fuck off,
What
Sheena.
Kind of message is that going to send to your daughter, by the way? That the whole thing is pretty fucking cringe. And then you wear these sloppy-ass fucking sweatpants and a fucking sports bra on a plane. It's like, look, do better. Like, again, I hate it on the 14-year-olds that I see.
Yeah.
Try harder. You wear a cool sweatsuit or something. I don't know what that means, but...
Or pick one thing. Like, yeah. I'm going to wear the crop top with jeans, or I'm going to do the sweatpants and a t-shirt and maybe not wear the fucking Spice Girl-esque platform tennis shoes. I mean, as I'm sitting here in the sweatshirt that I've worn the last 3 days, I realize I'm not one to judge on people's styling choices, but I see all of these clothes coming back too. And it's just desperate.
It's super desperate. I don't know.
I'm going to show up at your house one of these days with one of the, maybe like the black like choker tattoo necklaces that used to be cool, just to see your reaction.
I mean, I had a choker a couple years ago. I rocked it. Like, you can do trends. I'm sorry. Like,
make them your fucking own and make it look like you went back in your closet and found something that you've been keeping for 15, 20 years and not like you went back out to Forever 21 or Charlotte Russe or something and like rebought all of this stuff
right.
When you are too old to be doing that.
Both of us.
Like, I'm not like, I know it sounds like I'm not like shaming her, but like Sheena, like you guys are cool.
Lala was the same thing. She was wearing like sloppy fucking pants and a sports bra.
But like Lala changes it up.
You're right.
Where Sheena does not. And she's been like this every single season. It's just whatever trend is current at the moment, that is Sheena. And you know what? I should just be more accepting because that's how she is and that's who she is. But...
Right. Yeah. But her and Brock, they don't seem very happy.
They don't even seem like they get along ever.
No. And also Brock talking to Sandoval, like the first person on the trip to like start talking to him. I don't need this. I'm not a Brock fan.
Nope.
I don't know who I like better, Brock or Sandoval. Maybe Sandoval. I don't like Brock.
Ooh, if I had to be trapped in like a room with either Brock or Sandoval, it'd for sure be Sandoval.
Yeah.
Because at least there would be some interesting topics of conversation. Yeah.
My nose is sore, everybody. Mark is going to love editing this episode. And yeah, I want more of Ariane and Katie.
Yeah. You've been saying this for so long that everything just feels so forced. And I think it's finally like hitting me that it is, because you and I do still go back and watch older seasons. And it is just, it is so forced, and you are absolutely right, and it is just making it tough to watch. I would be surprised, you know, unless some scandal happens again this season. Like, I don't foresee this show coming back.
Yeah, I don't either.
And if it does, like, I don't need a Grey situation. I don't need this show, like, floundering around for, like, 4 or 5 more years just because.
Yeah. I mean, we'll obviously watch it.
And we'll just bitch about it every week. Like,
I mean, I feel like everybody could go walk away from the show and have their own thing going on.
Yeah. Just, God, I was so excited for the season to come back.
Maybe it'll get better. Mm-hmm. And it did make me want to go to Tahoe. It
did look very beautiful. I didn't. Ow! I mean, everybody's sitting at the table fucking howling like wolves.
James, what do you like most about, what's one thing you like about Sandoval? That was so cringe. I could just fucking.
I feel good that all of the podcasts are saying about how, like, that was so fucked up of Lisa to, like, bring Lala and Sheena into that. Like, if Lisa's that fucking concerned, she should call him a therapist or do something like that. Like, this is so gross. Just, like, her doing that, her asking James questions like that. It is just fucking weird. It's like when you are 9 years old and fighting with your siblings and your parents are like, no, say something nice about your sister before we eat dinner. God, Lisa, be better.
Right. Let's move on.
Survivor.
Survivor started.
I want you to know that in my notes, before you and I even talked about it, I had Hunter, my man.
Hunter, pretty funny.
Hunter. Survivor, glad it's back. In the beginning, I got really nervous because it seemed like there was a lot of mom strategy. You know, I don't want to be a flashy red car. I'll be over here in my minivan with mom things. Thankfully, that seemed to really go away after the first like 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
A lot of Tribe singing songs. Again, this is probably why you and I both like Hunter, because he was kind of like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Hunter said he also was a camp counselor and his least favorite thing was singing camp songs. Yeah.
And then the Kenzie girl, I can't stop looking at her because she looks exactly like Brittany Snow in Pitch Perfect with the red hair and like the really blue eyes.
Which one is Kenzie with the tattoos?
I'm not really sure right now because I only have her name in my notes. But oh. Maybe Wednesday when you watch, just look for it. It was okay. Just like an uncanny resemblance. I think it was the girl with the tattoos.
Okay.
Not sure.
I was really glad the one who went home went home.
Douche.
Yep. And I'm so mad at myself because I thought the Purple Tribe was going to be the strongest tribe because they have the football player guy and then some of the girls look really strong, mm-hmm. but they're the worst tribe.
How thrilled would you be? It's your first, like, you just get on the beach and your first challenge is like fucking diving through the mud.
Yeah, that's a lot.
They had it in their mouths, like not getting it in your eyes. I mean, right. I get a piece of dust in my eye and it like affects me for like 10 minutes. Like, I can't imagine all of the dirt and the mud.
Yeah. What are your thoughts when players compare themselves to other players? Like,
I hate it so much.
Poverty.
Tyson had a lot to say on that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like what?
Like, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Not even from a...
Bad gameplay.
It's bad gameplay. I don't even know why people say it because it doesn't make you sound cool or like a threat. It's just a weird thing. I mean, I don't know if it was 1 or 2 seasons ago when somebody like called themselves like the new Boston Rob or something. Like, you're not Boston Rob. I think Tyson's, how did he say it? He was something like, you know, you're not poverty because you didn't come on the show and win $1 million. Like, you're just some random, you're just a girl.
A girl who thinks she's hot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. It's when people, again, with the guy, the first guy who was voted out, he's like, it was such a blindside.
So that is not a blindside.
It wasn't a blindside. Don't be a dick. Okay?
God.
How, can you try to talk like that guy?
I was such a blindside. I forget. That guy's out of my fucking brain. Oh my God. You know who he kind of looks like is, what was that guy Katie was dating last season in Vanderpump?
Oh, I tried to think of that guy the other day. Corduroy or something, or
fucking Hansel. No, it was. No.
Yeah, I thought about him the other day. Couldn't remember his name though. Moving on. I think it's gonna be a good season. I really liked a lot of people, and there was very few I didn't like. So.
Oh my God, it's right on the tip of my tongue. Hold on. Satchel.
God. Kinda.
This makes me. As I was trying to Google this, and I made fun of you for so long with your texting, but something is fucking happening with Apple and their like update of how like the predictions are all fucking off. It doesn't autocorrect anymore. It makes me want to throw my phone against the wall. Anyways, yes, I am very excited about this season of Survivor. I kind of loved that right away. Jeff was basically just like, you guys are all here thinking you're going to win the show and like you're not.
Right.
Kind of trying to set some realistic expectations.
Yes.
I'm very excited that you and Phil enjoyed this episode because after last season, you guys said you were done.
Did we?
Yeah. I mean, I think you said that about the previous season also, but...
I think we said it the previous season and not last season, though.
Alec Gabler.
And also, you were not a fan of last season.
Fuck last season. I can't believe I made it through as much of Tyson's podcast as I did with that fucking Caroline girl on there. You're absolutely right. She's so obnoxious, and I'm like, how am I still listening to this? And I had to turn it off.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
Woof.
Top Chef is coming back March 20th.
Oh, man, is it March 20th? Mark just asked about that, and I said, it might be this week or next week.
Oh,
but nope. It'll be here before we know it.
In Milwaukee is where it is.
I'm excited.
Me too.
I feel like I'm manifesting that since it's in Milwaukee, this will lead us to go to Summerfest, summer of 2025.
Oh.
To try all of the restaurants we now know about in Milwaukee.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'll keep bringing that up. Don't you worry.
I finished a show called Fool Me Once on Netflix. It was a gym watch for me. I really struggled through it, but I kept at it. 8 episodes, and I don't think I got into it until about episode 6.
Is that the show you wanted me to watch, too?
No.
Okay.
I actually started caring about the characters, and it's just kind of a crappy whodunit. That's it. You don't really care about any of the players.
Do you recommend it for people?
No, absolutely not.
All right. Listen, I understand, like I've said, I am way behind the times on this, but I think we're almost done with part 2 of Making a Murderer. And all I want to do is talk about it with people, i.e. Kristen and Phil. And I can't because either A, people don't fucking remember because it was 4-6 years ago, or they just haven't watched it. I don't really know, but it is so fucking insane. And I hate these fucking cops and these detectives on it. I just want to talk about it so badly. But again, I'm going to say I cannot believe that they are still in jail. And after every episode, I think I turn to Mark and I'm like, if there was one person that embodied like a Trump supporter, it is these motherfuckers in this show. It is amazing to watch. Yeah. So, you know, still really into that show. My other half can't seem to stay awake through one of the episodes, still? It seems. Like, it is about 9:40 last night and I looked over and he was just starting to like bob for apples. And I was like, hey, he's like, what? He's like, I'm still paying attention. He finished it, but he started to.
We had 2 very strong cocktails at our house.
Yeah. And I'm still watching The Americans. I'm almost done with season 3. Talk about a show that is just getting really fucking good. Another thing, I just don't have anybody to talk to about it.
So I watched a documentary called The Deepest Breath, I think. The Deepest Breath. It's a documentary about freediving. And it's so intense and heartbreaking. And it follows 2 people. It's a true story. It follows 2 people, Stephen Keenan and Alicia Zucchini. Anyways, she has the freediving world record, holding her breath for 3 minutes and 26 seconds. But the world record is she's dove 351 feet down and then back up.
Just without anything?
Correct. I mean, she's safety clipped to a line. And then you get down far enough and it kind of, the water starts to push you down, which is crazy to watch. But then you have to like fight to get back up, you know? And basically a lot of people pass out when they get really, they're just about to the top and their brain just kind of shuts off and they pass out. It's very unsafe.
Yeah.
But it's so sad. He was a safety diver and they fall for each other and he helps her. He sees all these things she's doing wrong. And they go to this blue hole in Egypt, and it's like an infamous place where it's even more like perilous than Mount Everest, they say, where a diver must go like 52 meters down and then swim 30 meters horizontally to enter this arch and then swim back up. And she does it, and he is on the other side, and he needs to be down there at a specific time to like bring the rope down, because that's what she's looking for, to go back up. And for some reason, he can't get his breath right, so he waits 20 seconds, and then he goes down. Like, he's 20 seconds late, and she's 10 seconds ahead of schedule. So they miss each other by, like, 30 seconds.
Oh, God.
So she's, like, swimming the wrong way, and he sees it, and he goes after her and, like, basically saves her, and then he dies.
What?
It's so fucking sad.
Oh, my God. How does he die?
Because, like, he passes out, and she's passed out, but he made sure she was face up, but then he passed out and he was face down. So when she came to, he was dead.
Oh my God.
It's really sad.
Jesus.
God. Yeah. But really good. I recommend it. Spoiler alert, I suppose.
Jesus. That's like a real uplifter. I did see they're making an official documentary about the, I keep wanting to call it the Oceanic, but the Ocean Gate sub.
Yeah.
Even though we just kind of watched that one. And it's weird to me because I'm seeing the kind of, you know, the not the headlines, but the plot points they're taking out of this documentary. And it's about the tapping. And it's just like new footage of you, the tapping, and you can hear it. And but in this other one that we watched, like the Truth and Lies of the whatever sub, they said they addressed this specifically. And one of the fellow people that does this for a living, he was like, when I heard that tapping, he's like, I didn't for one second think they were alive, because if they were going to tap, it would be whatever SOS is with tapping, but like long tap, short tap, long tap, whatever it is. And he was like, so yeah, when I heard the tapping, I didn't think anything of it, because why would you just be out there banging randomly? Anyways, but I will still watch this documentary. I can't get enough of this kind of stuff. And I'll probably still watch that depressing one you just told me about.
Yeah, you should. It's really good. And then, yeah, I think that's pretty much it for what I'm watching. We watched The Fugitive over the weekend, circa 1993, Harrison Ford, Tommy Lee Jones. Finished it last night. So good.
We watched the movie Migration, which is a, I said Pixar, but apparently it's like an Illumination. So, you know, same thing with like the Minions and type thing. We were just looking for something to pass some time. It was kind of adorable. If anybody has kiddos out there, they probably will watch it.
Mom stuff.
Adorable. I'm a cool mom. Yeah, other than that was pretty much all we watched over the weekend. Mark and I have our heads full now because we are in the process of buying a fucking camper.
Woo!
He was talking to his mom yesterday, and he is trying to play this off. Like, so he was telling her about it. He's like, well, yeah, we went to an RV show, and, you know, we're probably going to get something, but it's just, like, really small and blah, blah, blah. So his mom is asking all these questions, and she's like, yeah, I guess the goal is if you can just have a bed and, like, maybe even a bathroom. He's like, yeah, totally. And then as I'm sending them pictures of this, and she's like, that is not like a small camper. He's like, well, it's like just like 19 feet. And I'm just like, Mark, you don't need to make this sound like we're getting like a, I don't even know it would be equivalent of whatever he's talking about, but it's pretty exciting. We're going through the motions. We're starting to look at insurance and some financing. Who would have seen this coming? But it's adorable. And it's just kind of very exciting.
It's very cute. Very exciting.
Yep.
Can't wait to celebrate it once you finally pull the trigger.
Whoa, whoa. Yeah, and I can't wait. So we're recording before this comes out tomorrow, Tuesday, and then you and I are recording a little bit early on Thursday, and I can't wait to talk about a couple of things, so I'm very much looking forward to that.
Awesome.
Stay tuned.
Oh my gosh.
I know. They're not getting another puppy. Everybody calm down. All right, Kristen, I think I agree with our listeners that I just really hope you feel better and get a good night rest.
Thanks so much.
And we will be back with you guys next week. You know where to find us on Instagram. And we are going to start watching The Summer I Turn Pretty.
We are. We're just working out some logistical things.
Working out some logistical things. It's going to be a crazy couple weeks, but we're going to get there.
Right.
Cool. All right. Bye.
Bye, y'all.